graciousness, graciousness, excellence of manners or social conduct. Graciousness. The synonyms of graciousness are kindness, courteousness, politeness, affability, benevolence. Perhaps you will agree with me, or maybe not, that the pandemic brought out the best and the worst in people. We literally had instances here when, I don't know from where, people would show up when the social distancing and the mask mandates were on, show up simply to violate the mandates and to test the intent of the community. And then on the other hand, the graciousness of our community also came to the fore. The cooperation of our people, the willingness of our parishioners to be inconvenienced to keep other people safe, the willingness to follow safety protocols, all these were truly exemplary. And then there was the financial generosity that flowed like a river. People stepped in anonymously, just stepped in to help the others who were hurting, those who lost jobs, those who were confined at home, those who were ill, doing grocery shopping for them. And finally, when the parish made a collection for those who did not benefit from the COVID relief checks, the parish collected more than 3 times the original goal it set for itself. This is what Scripture calls graciousness. Today I want to focus on graciousness. And focusing on graciousness, I'm choosing to reflect on the second reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. He says, as you excel in every respect, in faith, discourse, knowledge, all earnestness, and in the love you have for us, may you excel in this gracious act also. In this gracious act also. What does Paul mean by this gracious act also? You see, the early Christian communities were not affluent communities. Rather, they were very poor because it was the poor who first joined the ranks of the Christians. Initially, Christianity was not popular among the upper classes of Roman society. Moreover, Christians could not hold public positions in the Roman Empire because it conflicted with emperor worship. But the church in Jerusalem was particularly poor because persecution against Christians had forced many to leave the city. And so the remnants were very poor and left without resources. The church in Jerusalem was in dire need. And so in this context, Paul asks all the churches that he founded, to financially support the church in Jerusalem. Now, the Corinthians had started a collection, but even after a whole year, they had not completed the task that they began. The Macedonians, on the other hand, they began the collection, they completed the task, and they had already sent the money to the church in Jerusalem. So Paul says to the Corinthians to imitate the graciousness, the generosity of the Macedonians. So he says, excel in this gracious act also. In other words, what you have started, bring to completion. Now, Paul's exhortation on graciousness could mean many things for us today, and I want to draw some practical implications for us, and here are my 3 points for today. First of all, let's talk about excelling in graciousness. Paul's exhortation to excel in this gracious act was a call to live by a certain code of ethics. Folks, all people, but especially Christians, must be a gracious people. And in the context of the church in Jerusalem, Paul was exhorting the Corinthians to be aware and sensitive to each other's needs. And this is critical. It's a critical part of what it means to be a gracious people. He was saying to the Corinthians that even though the two communities were only connected by faith, because geographically they are far apart, that if they are only connected by faith, Christians must feel a sense of responsibility for each other. They must focus not merely on their communities, but for the common good. Today we can apply this to our community and our times on multiple levels. For example, on the broadest level, consider the Catholic teaching on the common good. And I am afraid that this teaching is just being set aside, sometimes for very vested interests. But this whole thing of common good, it's a very Catholic thing. And it truly has implications for us. What does common good mean? You find this in the Catechism of the Catholic Church from 1295 onwards, the numbers. There's quite a few paragraphs on the common good. Commitment to the common good means respecting the rights and responsibilities of all people. It means understanding that our actions have an impact on wider society. It is up to every one of us, governments, communities, and individuals, to consider the common good when decisions are made. Now, for us, we might be involved in these large-scale decisions, but graciousness is more than about the larger common good. So imagine that at home, nobody slams the door. Nobody raises their voice. Nobody calls names or throws a tantrum. Never happens in our homes, right? Imagine all family members complete their tasks, are patient, step in to help, and forgive graciously when mistakes are made. So Paul says to us today, may you excel in graciousness. So this week, on the larger level, and on the level of the family, make an extra effort to be gracious, to be generous. Secondly, we're not just being called to be gracious in our acts, but to make graciousness a lifestyle, to be radically gracious. So Paul does not only ask the Corinthians to excel in graciousness, but he also provides the theological reason for us to be gracious people. And hear what he says. For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. In other words, he was simply asking the Corinthians to imitate the graciousness of God in Jesus Christ. Now, there are two stories in today's gospel reading that shows us the graciousness of Jesus. Notice that there was a crowd pushing upon Jesus in that first story, but there was only one woman from whom Jesus felt that power was being drawn out of him. And he stops and he asks the question, who has touched my clothes? The disciples were not being very gracious. They said to Jesus, duh. There's a crowd pressing against you and you are asking, who touched me? When the woman approached Jesus in fear and trembling, and she fell before Jesus and told him the whole truth, the graciousness of God is in full display. Imagine what it must have sounded to her when Jesus says, daughter, daughter. It's like God calling us child, son, daughter. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction. It's an act of graciousness of God. Similarly, in the story of the synagogue official's daughter, people were not very gracious towards Jesus. When Jesus said, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is dead, but not dead, but asleep," Scripture says they ridiculed him. They ridiculed him. Perhaps Jesus was not being very gracious. He threw them all out. He only wanted gracious and faithful people in the room. Then he went to the girl. He lifted her by the hand and said, "Little girl, arise." And she did. And look at how sensitive Jesus is. Everybody was about to, "Oh my gosh, she's alive." And Jesus says, "Please give her something to eat." That's the graciousness of God, caring for the other person's even smallest need. Both of these miracles are acts of graciousness of God. However, it's not just the miracles that showed Jesus' graciousness. Graciousness was his lifestyle. And this is what I mean by radical graciousness. That is, it's one thing to be gracious here and gracious there and gracious here. For me, it's very hard when I'm driving my car to be gracious. But Jesus' life points to a lifestyle. The cross is the symbol of the radical graciousness of God. He even forgives his murderers from the cross. Against much brutality, instinctively, what flows out of Jesus is graciousness. It's the kind of graciousness that demands total self-sacrifice. As Paul says, "Our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." So today we are being invited to not merely be gracious and do gracious things, but to make it a lifestyle, to work at it, to become radically gracious like Jesus. Now, in my third point, I want to bring this whole idea of the common good and graciousness together. So I would like to leave you with some questions for reflection for this week. In these questions, I will hope to bring the Catholic teaching on the common good and Paul's exhortation on graciousness together. Question number one: do we care enough about the common good? And can we be gracious enough to leave the earth in a better shape for the future generations than we found it when we came on the earth? Second question. In 2021, there have been 247 mass shootings in the United States. 247 mass shootings in the United States, more than in all of 2020 already. This is only June. I'm not taking sides here. I have a side, but I'm trying to raise questions. As Catholics, should our focus be on individual rights or on the common good? As Catholics, how do we imitate Christ in this issue? Thirdly, it seems to us that in the US, we are emerging out of the pandemic. As Catholics who care about the common good, how shall we help the world to recover? Yes, we are okay. At least, I'm almost afraid to say that, but we seem to be emerging. What about the rest of the world? How will we help for the rest of the world to recover? Like the Corinthians caring for the church in Jerusalem? How shall we take care of those who are poor? Fourth question. Jesus showed the radical graciousness of God also on the individual personal level and laid down his life for the redemption and good of the human race. So on the one hand, he's working for the good of the human race, right? Common good. On the other hand, on the individual level, that woman who was 12 years hurting and that little girl who was dead, he works both on the common good and on the personal level. How will we imitate the graciousness and the generosity of God this week? How will individual people at work, at home, and everywhere else we are experience the graciousness of God in us? The Eucharist is a celebration of God's graciousness. See what God does. What do we give Him, folks? We give Him bread and wine. What does God give us back? His own self. He becomes poor. So from His poverty, we can become rich. This is the nature and the character of the Catholic congregation that we must try to develop in our parish. So this act of graciousness, as we receive, as we become the recipients and experience the graciousness of God, may we now then show this graciousness to the world. For that indeed is our calling today. People of God said,